Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And JC, last night we named a lot of district champs around the North in girls basketball. But excuse me, we are going to start off this morning talking to one of the more successful boys coaches in the North this year, Sean Finnegan from Traverse City St. Francis. And coach, you really had a tremendous year. And talk about, you know, the maturity of the your kids and how this group all came together.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. You know, we've got three seniors and a whole bunch of juniors, and you know, every year it's trying to piece that puzzle together. And this group, you know, above some of the past groups, which we've had a lot of good groups over the years, they really started to gel, really started to come together and understand some of the things we're trying to do. And you know, the success has followed on the basketball court. And you know, really, it's, you know, some of the best compliments I've had from other coaches were that, you know, the kids were just, they were tougher than we were, or they played more together. It looked like they were having fun. I mean, things like that, you know, you can only teach so much of it. You know, at some point the kids have to really buy in and they have to want it themselves. And this group's really, really bought in and really, really shown.
Right. And coach, you ended up 18-2 on the season, and, you played a good tough, schedule, so you weren't laying back at all. You wanted your team to be challenged throughout the year, and they were.
Yeah, we'd like to go out and find as many Class A schools that'll play us, and we were fortunate with our six non-conference games this year that five of them were against Class A schools. And you know, you kind of schedule those with the idea that yes, we want to win, but if we lose, you know, it's pushing us and helping us prepare for possibly a run in March. And you know, I thought we got a lot out of those games. We were fortunate to win a handful of them, and the ones we lost, we were in those games, we battled, but it was kind of a reminder as to where we still need to be. So you know, again, the kids accepted the challenge and rose to the occasion for the most part, so you know, we're proud of them for that.
Right. And coach, you're looking at your district. That's a Glen Lake hosted district. You have three ranked teams there, but you guys got a pretty good draw. Obviously, you guys look like you're the number one seed. You guys don't play until what, Wednesday night against Mancelona, and the Glen Lakes, the Elk Rapids, and the Benzies will be playing each other at the top end of the bracket.
Yeah, you know, we can, as we tell the kids, we can only control what we can control, and you know, we took care of our business. The seeding and the alphabet and how the bracket comes together is not our control. But yeah, the other side definitely has a little tougher road than maybe our side, getting the bye and having to play one game. So we're you know, we'll take what they give us. I don't really like days off, so I'd almost sometimes rather play on Monday so we keep the rhythm going. But
right.
You know, we'll be ready come Wednesday and, you know, try to bring our best effort each night and see where it takes us.
Right. Now, coach, do you like it now that the MHSAA has went to the seeding, rewarding teams that have successful regular seasons and giving them byes or and rewarding you just a little bit? Or would you prefer to go back just kind of random draw?
Well, I absolutely think that the mind is in the right spot to seed teams. I don't think that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you play 20 games in a regular season over the course of 4.5 months, and then that just gets thrown out the window and they put your name in a hat.
Right.
However, I think we still have some tweaking to do with the seeding. You know, you look at our district and, you know, a team like Glen Lake, who would presumably be a third seed, has probably the toughest road of anyone in the district. You know, they got to play essentially three good games to get out of it. When, you know, I think if we reevaluated it, you know, our whole district is everyone's over 500.
Right.
And then you got a district, you know, like McBain, Manton District, or Pine River, they don't have a team that's even at 500 in that district.
Right.
So I think if they looked at it as a little bigger picture, like all the way through the regional, I think you could seed it, have a neutral location, teams wouldn't have to travel more than an hour, hour and a half, and, you know, you'd get the best basketball at the right time. And you'd kind of reward a little more for a good season. Cause, you know, at the beginning of the year, they put places into our district. That's locked in. You know, you don't know how each team's going to be, obviously, during the year, but you're locked into who you're going to be in a district with, which, you know, in our case, we've got a really tough one, and then there's others that aren't as tough, and I think that there's a little tweaking yet that could be done, but I'm glad we're going in that direction.
Coach, over the terms of the season you've had, who is the best team you guys faced this year?
Well, I would have to say, you know, and I wish we could have played them now rather than third game on the road, but Grand Haven. Grand Haven was a very, very difficult team to play. They could stretch you out. You couldn't leave anybody. They all could shoot. They had size, athleticism, and they had a really quick guard at the point position. That was a problem. So, you know, and obviously, again, we were missing one of our starters, Donahue, from his knee surgery from football. And, you know, third game of the year, you're never going to be as good as you are at the end. But
you hope.
That was a really good team, you know, and that was a good game for us. It's one of those you're like, man, that would have been nice to play them in February and see what we could have done. But they're a tough team, and they're well coached.
Yeah, they're ranked pretty high, if I remember correctly. They've had a really good season.
They have, yes, exactly. And I saw some of that athleticism on the football field from a Grand Haven team as well. You could see they had athletes galore.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Coach, you guys played in the Lake Michigan Conference. You guys won that. And it was a good conference this year, too. I mean, you couldn't overlook anybody. You really had to come to play each and every night.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very good league this year. You know, we got challenged quite a bit. You know, even games where we might have ended up winning by 20, it wasn't a 20-point game the whole way. You know, we had to work for it, and you know, you had to keep coaching, and kids had to keep defending and doing the things they're doing. I mean, even just like the other night, East Jordan turned around and beat Elk Rapids by 30. And Elk Rapids was number two in the league, and East Jordan, I think, was fourth or fifth. So any given night, you know, that could happen, and our league was a good showing of that.
It's like the Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know what you're going to get. We saw that with the Grayling Vikings quite a bit. They got a lot of athletes and some inconsistency creeping in here and there, and, you know, which will happen with high school boys.
Absolutely. You never know what's going on in a 16-year-old's head when
right.
school and parents and girlfriends and everything else, you know, is playing a factor. And, you know, you think you got them figured out, and then the next day they're completely different kids. Leaves us scratching our head a little bit, but that's what, you know, that's high school kids for you.
Now, Coach, how do you keep this team focused on the
avoid what you just said.
Yeah, the task at hand here, you know, you got a good team, and not overlooking anybody and come and play each and every night.
Well, I grew up kind of in a, I don't want to say a military household, but my mom and dad were both in the military, so there was a lot of discipline, a lot of structure, a lot of routine. And, you know, the coaches I've played for and coached with were very similar. So I've kind of tried to, you know, we try to have everything look and feel the same, whether it's, you know, how we prep. If it's a game, the day before a game, we approach it the same way every time, you know, with what we work on for ourselves and then what we work on for the opponent. We approach each game day the same. We try not to make anything feel like it's, you know, it's a different feel, like, you know, whether we're on the road, it's a business trip. We take their phones away. They're not able to see them till we're done with the game. We're dressed the same way. I mean, to a T, you know, maybe OCD with it sometimes, but we try very hard to just keep them, you know, keep it all the same every night so that nothing, you know, you never feel like it's out of the norm.
Right. Now, Coach, when you first took the phones away, the first time you did they all kind of look at you cross-eyed and kind of wonder what they had to
do now?
Right, with their lives now? Because they're usually these kids are attached to their phones.
Well, and that is just it. And every year I get to experience that first look of what from our freshmen when they get on the bus and I take their phone, take the JV phones, take the varsity phones. And they're like, oh, is he serious? Like, what if I have to call my mom? So then you can tell me and I'll call your mom. You know, we're not doing that.
Right.
So, no, the idea is to obviously get focused, have the mind where we're supposed to be with it, and then, talk to each other. Let's communicate. You can't, I don't want to hear about you Twittering or Facebooking or whatever, social media outlet they use.
Right.
You can't communicate that way. You can't communicate that way on the basketball court. You can't
right.
tell your teammate a screen's coming through Twitter. You can actually open your mouth and communicate.
Yeah.
So, it goes back to something I heard Tom Izzo say years ago at a coaches, conference that, the social media, the kids don't look that, with all this technology, kids don't know how to communicate with each other anymore. So we got to force it a little bit sometimes. And that's one way we've kind of forced it and helped them, try to stay focused to what our job is. And when the job's done, you can have your fun and your phone back. So it seems like it's worked. And at this point, they understand it. I usually get some car keys. I get everything under the sun that they don't want to lose. So that bag gets pretty heavy by the time I'm done on my bus trip there. But, so far, so good.
Well, Coach Izzo has turned out to be a little prophetic about communication on a Michigan State team, but that's another matter. Coach, I know you've got the tournament run ahead of you, but, just very briefly, who would you call your team MVP so far, and then maybe a most improved player who's really come out of, the second team unit or whatever to really make your team what it's been this year?
Well, I think our MVP has to go to our point guard, Wyatt Mafsadas. He's, he's been a 3-year starter for us now as a junior. And, he's leading our team in scoring, assists, and he's right there with steals and rebounds as well. He fills the stat sheet and he gets a lot of other people involved. And he's just a matchup nightmare. And I can't say that without mentioning Adam Gerberding, who's been, in my opinion, he's the best defensive player I've coached in 15 years, and I think he's hands down the best defensive player in Northern Michigan.
Wow.
His attention to detail, his ability, he watches film as much as anybody, any of us. He'll leave the best player to make a steal on a play because he can see it developing. It's impressive to watch him in a game. And then he's also our second leading scorer on top of it. So he's held every player we've put him on, which is, the best player on the other team, under their average except one this year. So he's been a fun one to watch. And then most improved, I'd have to go to two guys here, my two bigs that start, John Hagelstein and Charlie Peterson. Charlie was a senior that didn't play the last 2 years, the quarterback on the football team, super athlete. He's come a long ways with what he's, trying to remind him of what verbiage means because he hasn't played since he was a freshman. And, we wish we would have had him for two more years and really saw what could have came of him. But, he's come a long way. He's just a good 6'4 athlete in the middle. And then John, 6'5, another good athlete that's just the last 2 years really come out of his shell. And another just great defender, good rebounder, and starting to really finish around the rim. And that's been huge for us.
Yeah, really. Sounds like you've got it under control here, Coach. you can tell it's the end of the year. My voice is going, Coach. I got the Sucrets out for sore throat and all that, so I got to make it through here. But best of luck to you guys. You guys have had a great season thus far. We wish you all the best in the postseason, and hope you can join us again sometime.
Well, I look forward to it, and I appreciate you guys having me, and thanks for the good luck. And maybe if we do what we're supposed to do, we'll get a chance to talk here in a couple weeks.
That would be outstanding, Coach. Coach Sean Finnegan from St. Francis in Traverse City getting ready to start the districts. Thanks for joining us on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Yeah, I really like Coach Finnegan.
I do too. I love the background, the military background with the parents. And I had not heard that. That takes a lot for him to ask for these teenage kids to give up their cell phones, because JC, you and I know what the phones mean to these kids, and good for him.
I think it's a great idea. I guess we'll have to ask the rest of the coaches we're having on today
if they dare do that. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we will have a number of other coaches on the program this morning. So we'll cut to a break here on Up North Sports Radio and return with an interview with Coach Doug Ballman from TC West as they begin their tournament run on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And JC, Traverse City West finished up their season on Thursday night, scheduling a really tough opponent in Benzie Central. And West was able to win by 10, 69-59.
Yeah, you and J.J. Royal called that game, and we have your interview with Coach Bauman here right after the game.
A very comfortable game for quite a bit of it. The team played really well defensively. You had to like the effort. And then that darn fourth quarter rolled around and things got interesting, but you're still able to pull out a 66-56 win.
Yes.
Coach, you were hoping that the last game of the year against Benzie would be a game where you would get tested and to really kind of get you ready for tournament type action. Are you happy overall with how it all came out?
Yeah, Rich, unfortunately, when we previewed that, we only heard your guy's side of the microphone. Ooh. Obviously, Coach Bauman was not that loud, and we're going to have him on the phone here in a minute anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, we're all three of us are wearing headsets there during the interview, and the microphone wasn't working nearly as well on Coach Bauman's headset. So, but just to give you a little bit of preview of what is coming up here for Traverse City West, and again, we will be talking to head coach Doug Ballman about this. They start off district play on Monday night up in Petoskey. I believe that's a 6 o'clock tip-off there. Petoskey, a team that West was able to beat twice in the regular season. And so they're at the very top of that bracket. And then on the bottom part of the bracket, going on at the same time, Alpena and Gaylord will be playing each other. And so those are a lot of very familiar teams.
Hello.
Coach Doug Bauman, we are live on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
We were trying to listen to your interview at the end of the game against Benzie Central. Unfortunately, you must have had a hoarse voice or we had a bad microphone. So, or a combination of both. But a nice win to round out the season. You scheduled a tough Benzie team and really dominated them for most of the game.
We did. You know, just a very good, well-coached, playing hard Benzie team, and it was good. A good game for us heading into our district round. So I was real happy with the guys' play there for the most of it. Had a little bit of a lapse and some defensive breakdowns that Benzie took advantage of, made some big shots and really put in an effort for us at the end there.
Right. Coach, as I talked about in the postgame interview the other night, you guys really overall are playing your best basketball. You've won 7 of your last 9 games, and you've got to be happy about that heading into tournament play.
Real happy. We've cleaned up some of the smaller things that we wanted to, and it's just a matter of kind of keeping it going. And as we've talked about numerous times, just these boys love to play hard, and as long as we can put that ball in the basket, it usually comes out in our advantage.
Coach, we want to double check. Rich wasn't 100% certain. So your first game is Wednesday, is that right?
No, Monday.
Monday.
Yep.
Okay.
Monday up in Petoskey. Yes.
And then
I thought we were going to
Marquette. Right. If we're fortunate enough to win, Coach, then Wednesday, I believe, then Marquette would host the next game.
That's what I've been told, yes, that we'll have the nice road trip up to Marquette there on Wednesday, should we get the win on Monday.
So they have the bye.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Now, is that because of the, because looking at their records, Coach, I mean, most of these teams very similar records and all that. Did they get the other bye because of the schedule they played, or was it just the travel thing?
No, a couple of years ago, the MHSAA went to a rating system for the first two teams in the districts, and it's based on, by my understanding, it's based on the teams that you play throughout the year and their record. And so even though you may have a losing record compared to other teams in the district because of the teams that you played and their success, you could essentially be seeded higher than other teams in your district. So Marquette, by my understanding, would have played a harder schedule compared to their opponents, you know,
right.
records. And so their opponents' records pushed them up into a higher NPR, I guess, and then that gives them the bye.
Right. I know that that's a team that probably played Menominee twice. And Menominee, a very good team, well-respected, 17-3 on the year. And so they probably, like you said, Coach, they got some bonus points and whatnot playing the competition similar to like what Menominee is.
Yes, yeah, and there's some very good teams up in the UP that you're right, Marquette played. And because of their success and their ratings, I do believe that bumped Marquette's overall NPR up. For them, so we need to take care of business on Monday first and
right.
Be ready to go.
Yep, team coach, like you said, we're very familiar with. we got them twice in the regular season. What do you expect from this Petoskey team?
Coach Tam's done a great job with them. He's been coaching for years, and I'm sure he'll have them ready to play. And has been watching film on how to counter some of our stuff as we've been watching film and trying to improve on, some of our the points that we failed in early on against them. So it'll be a dogfight, I expect them to play hard and they've got a really good inside-out game. So I can see them wanting to, pound the ball inside and either take advantage of that or kick to some of their guards that can put the ball in the hole from the three-point range. So very similar to what we've seen all year with offensive schemes and offensive concepts. So I think our guys will be ready to go and have a good understanding of what to expect.
Right. Coach, they've got some kids, real good players, real competitive kids, and also some kids that like to maybe get a little chippy. I noticed that in the second game that we played them, so should be a lot of fun playing them again.
It will, and like I said, it's win or go home, and they're hosting the district, and I know they have some seniors there that want to go out with some success. They have a good student section, but again, I think our boys will be ready to play, and they'll have that fight. And my nine seniors, I would love nothing more than to win this game and move on, and have a chance at that district title. So. We'll come out ready to go and put in the effort that I think is going to be needed.
Coach, we mentioned at the top of the interview that you guys have won seven of your last nine games. What do you attribute to flipping the switch? I mean, the team had a lot of inconsistencies that, like you said, you've kind of sharpened the edges, and the team's probably playing up to the standard that you expected from the beginning.
Absolutely. I credit it to these kids just wanting it. They want to learn. Then they started to have an understanding of what we're looking for. Some of the secondary reads we're looking for offensively, some of the help side rotations defensively that were new to them or newer to them. And I have a phenomenal coaching staff. Jason Morrow and Ryan Pope help out tremendous in practice. Scott Chenard and Matt King from the JV levels. Adam Root and Brett Clark on my freshman team. It really is a whole family affair, if you will, from our coaching staff. So just the little points that they pull aside the kids and talk to them about, whether it's an offensive concept or a defensive concept, that's really been the difference maker is their understanding of what the coaches are asking, but as important that the coach is willing to step up and address some of those issues.
Yeah, Coach, and talk about the success of the Traverse City West basketball program at the freshman level, JV level. You guys have been really good throughout.
They have, again, you know, it was really nice to have the coaching staff in place when I got there. You know, Coach Clark had coached last year. Coach Shenard and King had been there last year, so knew some of the kids. And Sanders Fry did a nice job, you know, establishing a program there, just getting kids in the gym, getting routines down, getting the balls in the hand. So, you know, I definitely can't take credit for the success as Coach Fry really had a good base started already within that Titan program. You know, they've won 5 or 6 districts while he was at the helm. So, you know, there was a baseline established already, and these kids have just kind of built on what I've asked them to, and that just says a lot to what was already in place, especially at the middle school level. Had some really good coaches have stepped up and taken a lot of the middle school kids out of the league program and put them into travel ball, and just, again, giving them gym time opportunity, and that's where the success comes, is just getting these kids in the gym. Yeah, with people that want to be there and watch them be successful. So I can't take credit for it by any means.
Coach, I know you've got hopefully a bunch of games left as you head into districts and hopefully beyond. But who would you name as your MVP of the season and a most improved?
I'll tell you what, it is that's a hard one. You know, the most valuable isn't necessarily always, you know, the highest point scorer or
sure.
the biggest rebounder, but, you know, for me, it's always the one that is kind of the catalyst, right? The anchor point of everything. And I think this season, that's really been Josh Hershenberger for us. Just because he does so much for us at the defensive end, and then turns around and gives it to us offensively, just being a threat, dribble drive penetration, you know, being able to pass out. So I think, you know, Josh has really been the biggest asset for us this year. And then, you know, you look at our scoring, though, it's all spread out. You know, Josh could have 17 one game and then 8 the next game, and then Ian Robertson can step up and put double digits up for us. John O'Connor, Will Gaston, you know, we've had good games from our sophomores, Ben Hobbers and Quentin Hunt, or Quentin Gillespie. It's just across the board a very balanced team for me, and they all fill a role when needed.
And is somebody that's really improved throughout the year, Coach, that, you know, maybe you thought would be you know, a secondary player or whatever, that's really pushed his way into getting more minutes and helped the team out more than you might have anticipated at the beginning of the year?
Again, that's a tough one. You know, we the last game, I know it didn't get aired though, but Brandon Konchek has really come along for us this year, put in some good minutes for us. Second half of the season, I thought Will Gaston has really improved on his aggressiveness, you know,
yeah.
the rebounding and scoring aspect. You know, Ian Robertson has come in the second half of the season after our first Central game and really developed. So probably I would say the most improved from the beginning of the season to how we're ending would. Oh, man, it's tough. I would have to probably say Ian at this point, just because of what he's given us overall, his energy, his defensive ability, you know, his ability to step in, run the offense, make some shots. So, yeah, you guys put me in a tough position here.
That's all right. The kids, I'm sure your kids aren't listening. They're probably sleeping right now. So,
I hope they're resting up. But, you know, it is tough because I really have seen a tremendous growth across the board with so many of the players. And a lot of that's just confidence in themselves and understanding that when they start to see success for what they're doing, that gives them a lot of confidence, and we all know what confidence does for our, you know, our ability to succeed in whatever it is. So, yeah, you know, Ian probably has had the biggest leaps and bounds, and then Will Gaston is up there. So, and again, you know, might keep going back and forth. Brandon Konchek comes in and has some big minutes for us. It's just. I've got a tremendous group of young men that I get to work with, and very fortunate.
Well, it just so happens that your Jimmy John player of the game last on Thursday was Ian Robertson, and so and the parent, Bob Gillespie, they got each got some Jimmy Johns to enjoy. And then Brandon Konchak was the Fox Motors Motivated Player of the Game. So I guess you touched on all of them. So, yeah, we look forward to calling your game in Petoskey on Monday over on 106.3 FM. And let's go get a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. And as we talked numerous times, you know, the start of the third season, this season can end pretty quick. So it's a win or go home, and we're ready to bear down and be our junkyard dogs and get after it.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Coach. Go Titans.
Go Titans. I appreciate you guys as always. Thank you so much for my time.
All right, you bet.
All right, we'll be back.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio and the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And joining us now, the head coach of the Grayling Vikings, L.J. Mead. L.J., you guys were able to finish the season with a couple of wins.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Finished off the regular season Tuesday down in Houghton Lake against the Pretty Athletic and Houghton Lake squad, and we are in the midst of preparing for districts and waiting to see who we are going to face on Wednesday of next week.
Right. Coach, it might be, like you said, those Houghton Lake Bobcats, or it might be Lake City. Both teams are very similar records at 12-8. What do you know a little bit about each team?
Well, you know, I went up to or over to Frankfort on Tuesday and watched them. Excuse me, the other night to watch them play Frankfort. And Lake City is solid. They're just a really good defensive team. If you look at their scores, they're holding opponents often around the 40-point mark. They have a couple of athletes, sophomore point guard that can really play. And then they have a senior, Gavin Bisball, he's long, athletic, and he can really play. He can shoot from outside, post up, play inside. Reminds me a little bit of our Dylan Craig, maybe with a little bit more height and more of a post player. Whereas Dylan has the outside game, but he can get out. And at some point during that game, he was guarding guards around the perimeter and can really move. So, you know, those two in Lake City really stand out to me as two people that will be a tough guard on the defensive side of the ball against them. And then down in Houghton Lake, you know, they really played really well this season and got some big wins. And the two that faced off, Lake City and Houghton Lake, twice. One was, I believe, a 43-42, and then one was 48-40. Lake City got both of them. So really should be an interesting game. And to be honest with you, those two teams are very similar.
Trying to remember that kid. Coach, I produced the game against Houghton Lake the other night, and they had the one player that really caused you guys fits, who is, you know, an all-purpose player. I'm sorry, the young man's name escapes me, but he's the kind of player that could can really take over a game all by himself.
Yeah, they have the Megs boy at around the perimeter that can really shoot. They have the Ritke boy.
Ritke, yeah.
He's just an athlete. He's an explosive, quick guy. So either way, our boys know that we're gonna have to play and be on top of our game if we want to advance and continue our season. Definitely not an easy out on either end. So it's you know, it's one of those things where we're prepping right now for both of them. We know a lot of what they do defensively, and we're trying to work on our offensive schemes for that, and then how are we gonna best match up against those guys defensively. So.
Yeah, it seems like the two games that I produced is the best two games that the teams had. I mean, they were really on point against Houghton Lake on the road in a fairly hostile gym. So you had to like the way that the regular season ended, as your team playing the way you'd like them to do.
Yeah, for us, you know, the struggle has been consistency. We have athletes, we have athleticism, we have kids that can play, we have kids that have played a lot of basketball. And, the big thing I think for us is, are we going to play together, trust each other and work together? And when we do that, we've put up some numbers offensively and we've been able to get after teams defensively and it's, you know, the team that we expected that we would have.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned the Bisball kid from Lake City. I mean, the Bisball girls, the Bisball boys, all of a name very synonymous with Lake City basketball.
Yeah, great family. A couple families there. Obviously all related, but a great family and a basketball family. Their kids are they're pretty great. The one girl is actually waiting their time out this year so that she can play next year. You know, that Lake City girls team next year is going to be long and tall, and they're going to be a tough out next year. But that's a great family, and basketball running in their blood over there.
Well, Coach L.J. Mead from the Grayling Vikings, good luck. I know you'd probably, in some instance, would like to be playing on Monday, but you're going to have an opponent on Wednesday. And where is that game? That game is going to be played where, Coach?
At Manton?
We are at Manton.
Right, okay.
7 o'clock game on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, you know for sure the time now? Because I know that we weren't sure if it was going to be a 7 or a 5:30.
Yeah, the winner of the other side of the bracket will play Mesick at 5:30.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
And then we should have a 7 o'clock game versus the winner of Lake City and Holt Lake.
Yep. Yeah. All right, L.J. Mead, we will, of course, be broadcasting that game on our sister station 100.3 here in Grayling. So go Vikings.
Go Vikes.
Go Vikes.
All right, thank you, L.J.
Hey, so, it sounds like Lake City might give them a harder time. You know, they were really on point, Rich, as I pointed out.
Right.
Unfortunately, this has been a wildly inconsistent Grayling Vikings team. They have really good athletes. When they play well, they're a good basketball team. We were surprised when they lost to Kalkaska when they were on the big winning streak, and then maybe looking forward to the St. Francis game where they got trucked, and then they lost a couple of the games after that. So it's been – we should have asked Coach Mead what he's doing about the cell phones.
Yeah.
Stolen a page from Coach Finnegan. But, they're going to have to wait and play on Wednesday. And, they could go a ways.
They could.
Yeah.
Yep, on that other end of the bracket is an undefeated Mesick team. We've talked about it all year. They did the AP, did give them a little more love this week. They're the number 9th ranked team in Division 3.
They haven't played
but in their schedule, very much so. They play in that West Coast Conference, and they didn't play a lot of 500 teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You can.
They played some schools, literally I've never heard of before.
Yeah, it's
so,
very true.
I mean, I'm not as an expert as much as you, but.
But no, I'm the same way. I'm looking at some of these brackets, and I'm still learning teams that I've never heard of. And I'm like, I've been in the state of Michigan my entire life in northern, and some of these teams pop out of nowhere.
Yeah. So, Coach Mead is going to have those guys all on the same page. Like you said, when they play together, they're a formidable team. But they can just as easily come out a little flat. Unravel, and the next thing you know, the season's over.
I know, exactly. Yeah. That's the finality of district play or region or whatever. It's like you realize you're not putting that uniform on again. If you're a senior, you got to go out there, leave it on the court, literally.
When Coach Finnegan told us in an interview a couple weeks ago about when the best St. Francis team in a generation loses to Kalkaska in the districts,
yes.
That's brutal.
It is brutal.
Yeah. So, like I said, the same thing happened to me my junior year at Brother Rice.
It can happen, and it's devastating.
It really is. It takes a lot. I still think about it.
Yeah,
and I
sure.
was injured. I didn't even play in the game. So, it's All right, when we return here, we'll take a look at all the girls' action that happened across the state. A lot of district champions crowned, and we're going to have Coach Tim Ryman from Traverse City West, the ladies' team, to talk about their season. When we return here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne with you. And, JC, we wanted to go over some of the district champs that were crowned last night.
Yeah, all of them crowned.
Yeah, exactly. So we mentioned off there, Gaylord St. Mary's had a tight one with Bel Air. They won 36-33, much closer than a lot of people probably anticipated.
Well, as Coach Schultz pointed out to us in our interview with him last week,
right,
they shoot the three.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds to me like a lot of them didn't go in.
Right. Yep, and those, when you rely on that outside shot, you're gonna have nights like that for sure. Also, Hillman all over Atlanta, 46-3. So Hillman continues to roll. Good team there. Lake Leland on St. Mary's, they won 62-21. Ludington over Big Rapids, 44-36. In a battle of big-time teams in the north, the Glen Lake girls won 57-47 over Traverse City St. Francis. So they continue to roll. They're, I believe, 22 or 23-0 is Glen Lake now. McBain won. They won 46-33 over Everett.
McBain.
Yep, and McBain Northern Michigan Christian beat Marion 49-9. Ooh, that's a smoke show there. Watch out. Posen, they put up 67 on the scoreboard against Inland Lakes, as Inland Lakes scored 54. So that was a fairly high-scoring girls game. Engadine, the eastern part of the UP, upset Rudyard 54-53.
What a game.
Oh, no doubt about it. That was a tough one for them. Hey, good job, Engadine. Stanford Meridian, they beat Farwell 43-38. Sault Ste. Marie beat Boyne City 47-36. Also, St. Ignace, they continue to roll. They beat a good Charlevoix team last night 50-42. And Standy Sterling, having a great sports year this year, by the way. They won 55-38 over Jack Pine champ Clare last night. So those are your Northern Michigan district champs in girls basketball.
Rich, as I told you, the Catholic League was a nip and tuck affair. Orchard Lake St. Mary's, which had the kid that played with Amani Bates, it looks like they've put everything together. They lost a number of games inside the Catholic League.
Right.
But they managed to win the Catholic League championship, which was a dogfight all the way.
Sure.
And then they beat number one ranked Detroit King yesterday afternoon at Callahan Hall.
Oh,
50-49.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. What a great win for Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
They are going to be I don't know what their district's going to look like, but right now you've got to put them as the presumptive favorite to win the Class A state champion. Actually, I don't think they're I think they're like Division III.
Right, exactly. They're definitely either a very small two or a three for sure. Yeah.
But they've got a number of kids on that on their starting five that are all playing D1 basketball, and looks like the coach had a lot of problems putting some of these pieces together because two of the kids just came in that year.
Right.
But now the cream is rising to the top. And my brother Rice Warriors won a non-scheduled warm-up for the districts against a really good Macomb Dakota team, 69-67. So I'm going to keep an eye on some of the Detroit districts because there's some really great basketball being played down there this year.
And JC, been around, played basketball, been around basketball long enough to know sometimes it takes a while for these teams to come together and gel, whether it's new players, a new coach, a new system, whatever the case may be, you need more time. And so it takes 15, 16, 17 games for you to put it all together, and then that's what happens is that's why you see these teams go on big runs, and even though they'll have, you know, anywhere from five to eight losses, because they just weren't playing good basketball through the entire season. It was a searching out process.
Well, it happens all the time. You know, a team gets right at the tournament, whether it's high school or in college, a team you just didn't plan on catching fire, a lot like our state championship run. I've mentioned to you a thousand times.
Right.
Everybody thought that we would lose to Pontiac Central, and we didn't. And everybody thought we would lose to Catholic Central, and we didn't. Everyone thought we would lose to Lansing Everett. We did, but it was in overtime, and should have won the damn game.
Right, right. No, it's, It's not, you know what I mean, it's when you get hot or play together as a team, and you see it every year in the state of Michigan tournament runs, teams that kind of come, maybe not from nowhere, but were certainly underdogs, and they go on to win, you know, either championships or make deep runs.
We're now joined by Coach Tim Ryman from the Traverse City West ladies program, and Coach, unfortunately, the season has come to an end, but you had a lot of things to be proud of this year.
Yeah, we did. One thing, and I don't mean to correct you, but it's Ryman. It's spelled Ryman, but Ryman. But,
okay. No, sorry,
yeah,
Coach.
Fine. No, we did. We had a good year. You know, when you consider it's the first year with the girls, and we started out 5-9 and we finished the year 5-3. You know, we had a lot of good wins, especially that Petoskey win in districts was big.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. You guys got the draw of the conference champs, the Big North champs there of Petoskey. And Coach, I love how your team competed. They didn't, you know, they weren't there to kiss their trophy, for their conference championship. You guys just went out there and won that ball game.
Yeah, you know, they were missing their second leading scorer, which helped us. But we had the mindset that we played them 2 weeks earlier at our place, and we lost by 11, but that was misleading. We were down 4 with the ball with 3 minutes to go. And we thought we could compete with them then, and I think our girls were very confident and played very, very well, especially the defensive end. You know, we held their leading scorer to 0, and they did not score as a team in the third quarter. So
wow.
I mean, that was obviously a defensive game all year. So, yeah, they played fantastic.
Yeah, you hold a team scoreless for an entire quarter and their best score without a bucket, Coach. You're doing some things right on the defensive end.
Yeah, Sarah Skirmahorn, a senior guard for us. Their best score is over 6 feet tall, but she plays more perimeter. And we put a post on her the first time we played them, and then we put Sarah on her the last two games, and Sarah did such a nice job. She's such an athlete and very coachable and so fundamentally sound defensively that she really gives people fits.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. And then you guys advanced then to the semifinals, and a team you're very familiar with, of course, crosstown rival Central Trojans, and you guys battled them to a 3-point ball game, I believe.
Yeah, we missed the 3 at the buzzer. Yeah, that one stings a little bit. We had our chances for sure. We missed 4 or 5 easy shots in the fourth that we thought we should have made, but you know, to give them credit, you know, both teams played fantastic defensively. It was a 36-33 ball game, and, you know, they took us out of some things we wanted to do, and we did the same to them. But, you know, they hit a big shot with about a minute to go. Kate Heights hit a 3 when the game was tied, and then, you know, we had to battle from there. But, no, it was a lot of fun, disappointing with the result, but a lot of fun to be a part of it.
Now, Coach, how many seniors will you be losing off this team?
Yeah, we're going to lose 6, and that sounds like a lot, and it is. 4 starters. But Ainsley Hewitt is the one starter that I'll be back. Michaela Thompson was a sophomore we brought up partway through the year. She started 4 or 5 games for us when people were hurt. That's a name you're going to be familiar with because she's going to be one of the better players in the league in the next year or two. Audrey Lefebvre is a sophomore big that was up with us most of the year. And then Anna Campbell is a junior that will be coming back, and she's going to help us a lot. Same with Mallory Smith. And you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, and our JVs were 16-4, so, you know, the cupboard's not bare. We did lose some good seniors, but the cupboard's not bare.
Right, absolutely, Coach. It's always nice when the kids can get all kinds of experience at that JV freshman level, whatever the case may be, and experience some success, and then bring that on to your varsity team, and then you can just hit the ground running.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, I mean, it was an interesting year for us, and I don't know if you noticed by looking at our schedule, but we were 0-8 on the road and 10-4 at home, which was very interesting. To say the least, but no, it's one of those situations where when you lose a lot of seniors, you have to have good girls coming up, and we're fortunate enough to have that happen.
Coach, and what is the off-season plans here for the team? Whether it's workouts or getting your summer program together, what's the overall big picture?
Well, you know, I only got a few practices in with them because I got hired late last year, and so we're gonna get a full summer. You know, we're going to have workouts, you know, during the week and scrimmages on the weekends and go to a few shootouts. But it's going to be a full summer of activity. And so those girls get, you know, a better look at what we want done than with the senior. And that's why I commend the seniors so much, because we didn't have a full summer together. And, you know, they still competed every single night. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, this group will have an advantage because they'll have a whole summer together.
Right, exactly. Coach, it's just not you getting used to your players, it's the players getting used to you, and all that familiarity then will help you build success moving forward.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Coach Tim Riemann of the Traverse City West Titan Girls.
Hey, we got it right.
Right.
There you go.
All right, we appreciate you joining us here, and best of luck in the off season. We appreciate you joining us a couple of different Saturdays here.
All right, well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Tim Riemann of the Traverse City West Titans Girls program. So.
Yeah, it's always tough when the season ends, but Coach Raymond is getting his stamp on the program,
right?
And look forward to bigger and better things next year.
That's a tough situation. You get hired late in the process, and all of a sudden, you have what you have. You know, you haven't been able to work with these girls. You haven't been able to do any off-season work, so you're kind of learning your players as you go along.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some information on the districts down for some of the teams that we've been kind of keeping our eye on from the Catholic League and Detroit King. That Macomb Dakota team was ranked just one spot lower than Brother Rice. So,
wow.
Yeah, they've got – it's going to be very interesting, and I'm going to try to get somebody on for the program next week to give us a little bit more information on what's happening in the districts, whether it's Mick McCabe or...
Right, yeah. Hey, March Madness is upon us. It's the greatest time of the year.
Yeah, I just won't pay to be a subscriber for the Oakland Press. I'm just not going to do it.
Exactly.
just to find out what's going on down
right.
there. So it's... anyways, we want to thank all the coaches who joined us and wish them all good luck as they head into districts. And we'll be here next week at 10 o'clock on Up North Sports Radio to bring you the scores and the action in as we begin High School March Madness.
Yeah, it's an awesome time of year. Looking forward to see you at 10 a.m. next Saturday.
And thanks to the Bill Marsh Automotive Group for presenting.